He's okay, but he's dead.
Yeah. Chaim. Chaim, get serious. Pass that around. Pass the mashka around. Get serious about it. Not the herring, but the mashka. Pass the mashka around. Get serious about it. Pass that one around.
The mashkas and the fish and the donuts go very well together. You have to mix the grease with the jam. Very, very, very
good. Chaim.
I'll take him. About 2 years ago, we sat in this same room, and I shared the same story I'm going to share right now, because that's the way I feel. And I'm going to leave out one of the names, because it doesn't really matter who was the one who said it, because this is how we feel. Said that one of the tzaddikim said, in the name of all of the tzaddikim, including the one sitting here, that there used to be a time when if there was a gzar din on the Jewish people, so the Baal Shem Tov would go to a special place in the forest and he would light a candle with certain kavanos, and he would say a special tefillah, and he would be mevatel the gzar din. And Tzadik said that my Rebbe, he knew where the place was in the forest, and he knew how to light the candle with the special kavanos, but he didn't know the special tefillah. So he would go to the forest and he would light the candle, and he'd be mevatel the gzar din. And then the Tzadik said, and my Rebbe, he knew where the place in the forest was, but he didn't know the special kavanah for lighting the candle, and he definitely didn't know the tefillah. So he would go to the forest, and he would just light a candle with stam. And then the tzaddik said, and I don't even really know where the place in the forest is, so I can't even go in that place and light a candle, and I certainly don't know the kavanah for lighting the candle, and I certainly don't know the tefillah to be mavatal the gzar din. So instead I'll tell the story about how the Baal Shem Tov used to go to the forest and light a candle and say the special tefillah, and how the Magid used to go to the forest and he would light the candle with the special kavanah. He didn't know the tefillah. And my Rebbe would go to the forest and he'd light the candle, but I don't know any of that, so I'm just going to tell the story. And on the one hand, I feel like a little bit that's what we're doing here. I can certainly speak for myself. I don't want to speak for anyone else here, but I could speak for myself that I grew up in a town that was imbued heavily with Hasidus, mitzad echad, but mitzad sheni, there was no Hasid, learned Hasidish. I'm not Hasidish. I didn't have a mashpia chabadi to teach me how to do this, or what we're supposed to be doing here, what we're supposed to be feeling, and I didn't have a tradition from my father and his father, and many generations back, how to do this. So a little bit what we're doing here is we're just coming here to tell the story and to light the candle with a kavana of trying to tell the story and to sit together with the kavana of trying to tell the story and to try to be mechazik each other in the yesodos of what it means to be a Jew and to be able to say Shema Yisrael at a time like this, which was what the Baal Shem Tov was saying, that there's going to come a time when having Jews who come together and say Shema Yisrael is going to be a big pella, which I think Higiyazman. So I'll just share a few things that I was thinking about today as I was sitting in the Beit HaMerkachat. My children, over the past little bit, first my son and my daughter, have been up and down in the health department. Baruch Hashem, nothing too serious, relatively speaking. And it's been a while in hospitals and pharmacies and things like that, for pretty much on and off since Sukkot. There's a beautiful little sefer called the Avodas Pnim. And in the Mavoh of that sefer, he has a brief little paragraph that's probably the only thing I'm going to read inside, and then I'll just speak for a few minutes and sing together. The Avodas Pnim said, Hinei bebeit ha-merkachat, in the pharmacy, yesh shnei mini refuos. There are two types of healing. There are two types of medicines. Today, Baruch Hashem, I was picking up the lesser extreme kind. Yesh refuos sha'asr li'ashtamish behem b'li ho'ra mirofe. There's some types of refuos which are so serious, they have side effects, and you take them when you don't need them, it could be adverse. So you take them only with the advice of a doctor. V'yesh refuos shemoter lakachtam b'li rofe. And there's some types of refuos which are the type of thing that you could take, you know, at the recommendation of a friend, or the type of thing that's mipnei shem refuos klalios l'kol darish. They're kind of the general aches and pain type of medicine that you take. V'ein behem sakano. There's no danger if a person takes this medicine without the proper advice of a doctor. U'lefamim kishein shchiach rofe b'iro. And sometimes if there is no doctor, sometimes if there's no doctor to give you the right advice, so shol l'macholim zedzeh. So the sick people ask each other. Ula yodea eze refua, maybe you know a good refua for me, maybe you know a refua tovo me'ila, maybe you know some little trick that you could use to, that I could use to make myself feel just a little bit better, nothing too extreme. So anything that I'm about to say, which is just mamish one little ha'ara about how I'm feeling about this these days, is on the level of cholim who are shol and zedzeh, sick people who are sitting together and asking each other, you know, maybe there's a little something we could still do to keep the fight going, because we still have a lot of fight, Baruch Hashem. I'm not saying that we're, it's not like that, but I'm not a doctor. I don't think any of us are Baalei Shem. But we're Jews who are all sitting together, and from the people that I know here, which is almost everybody, I think came out every single person sitting here, people who are, on the one hand, we're chola, but on the other hand, we're chola tahava ani, or we're sick with love for Hashem, and we're looking for different tricks, different ways to try to strengthen ourselves in the last 2 minutes, because it's pretty clear that that's all there's left, which Baruch Hashem is very good news. The Alter Rebbe said, not in English, but I'm going to read it in English. It must be made known that on the day of Yutes Kislev, which Hashem made for us, all of us, on Tuesday, the day about which the Torah writes, twice it was good, the Yurtzeit of Rabbeinu the Magid, when I was reading the Pasuk from Tehillim, I was sitting in a jail cell and just zogging Tehillim, I was reading the Pasuk in Tehillim that begins, Pada B'Shalom Nafshi. Before I reached the next pasuk, I was freed b'shalom from Hashem, who was called Shalom. Pada b'shalom nafshi. I was freed. I was set off into a place of peace by Hashem, who was called Shalom. So as I was remembering this and thinking about this, while I was sitting in the, I didn't have any svarim with me. I was just sitting in the Beit HaMerkachat, trying to find an etza. So it all of a sudden struck me that this pasuk of Padu B'Shalom Nafshi, I think I first heard from Rav Judah the idea that when a Chabad Rebbe gets freed from jail, he says that Hashem, you freed me from jail, I'll free you from jail. And you free me from jail, I'll free you from jail. Hashem is trapped in all types of funny places that you would expect. That's not where Hashem's trapped, that's where Hashem is found. But somehow we box Hashem into the Sfarim and into Beis Medrash and into the Beis HaKnesses, and Hashem is found in these places where we're expected to find Him, but Lav Dafka in the places that Hashem expects to be found, which is also every other place in our life. So the Gemara says that the first word that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to us The first word that Hashem said to the Jewish people was Anochi. And the Gemara says that Anochi is an acrostic for the words Ana Nafshi Ksavis Yahavis. I wrote my soul down and I gave it to you. Ana Nafshi Ksavis Yahavis. I wrote down my neshama. I took my essence, my infinite essence, and I boiled it down into a finite text which you could spend your whole life studying. That the Alter Rebbe was taken out of jail while he was reading the words Pada B'Shalom Nafshi. Like the Maharal says, Dvarim Gedolim Inam B'Mikra. Big things don't happen stam like that. And the Alter Rebbe was taken out of captivity, which he and many other people saw as a sign that the Derech of Chassidus, the Derech of Pnimius HaTorah being revealed, even by taking the precious gemstone of the Ribbono Shel Olam, taking the precious gemstone of the king and crushing it up and spilling it into the sick prince's mouth, even though most of it would be wasted, maybe a drop would fall in and we'd be able to heal ourselves. But to take the Torah, to take the Infinite One himself and to bring him down into the most simple and simplistic language for anybody to be able to understand was the ultimate in Pada B'Shalom Nafshi. Ana Nafshi Ksavis Yahavis. Hashem said, I took my soul and I wrote it down and I gave it to the Jewish people. And the Alter Rebbe over and over and over again in his lifetime was screaming from the very first thing that I ever heard about the Alter Rebbe, which was that he was trying to decide, should he go to Vilna to go learn Torah, or should he go to study what it means to daven? That the Alter Rebbe was trying to free the Nafshi of Hashem, which had gotten forgotten somehow along the way. The Maisa of the Chozen or of Simcha Bunim, that they used to learn together, Nigla, they would learn Gemara together. And the Chozen was instructing Rav Simcha Bunim that if he ever thought that his Rebbe forgot about the Ribbono Shel Olam for a second, if he got too carried away with the Tosvos, he should... The Rebbe, don't forget. The Ribbono Shel Olam, don't forget Hashem. And one time, the two of them were sitting and learning together, and it got very heated. And they were looking and flipping to the backs of the Gemaras and backwards and forwards, pulling Svarim off the shelves. And the Chozu was like on fire, trying to figure out the Pshat and the Gemara, the Pshat and the Gemara. And Rav Simcha Bunim stopped. He said, Rebbe, don't forget, there's Ribbono Shel Olam. And the Chozu said, no, I still got it. Don't worry. I'm still there. But not everybody was like that. And there were a lot of people in the world, and there still are a lot of people in the world, and sometimes I'm one of them, who forgot that Ana Nafshi Ksavis Yahavis, Hashem wanted to have a relationship with us through the Torah. And Pada B'Shalom Nafshi means that on some level, Chassidus, and what the Alter Rebbe was screaming, don't forget about davening, and don't forget that there used to be, that the Beis HaKnesses was a place was just as important as the Beis HaMedrash, if not more important. And don't forget, like you write in Igros Kodesh, that anybody who doesn't daven for an hour and a half, Shachris, so, and he says, I'm going to send spies. Out there, I'm going to send spies to all the minyanim. And anybody who's not davening an hour and a half, Shachris, so when they come to hear big Torahs, I'm going to push them away, because you don't get it. And I don't get it, we don't get it. I'm going to push them away, because it's not about making the Infinite One more infinite. It's about making the Infinite One more part of my life and my family and my children. Pada B'Shalom Nafshi means that the Ribbono Shel Olam is asking, is begging, that he didn't free the Alter Rebbe in vain, that he didn't free the Alter Rebbe just so that the Alter Rebbe could be free to teach very nice, lofty ideas, to teach that the Torah starts with the letter Beis, like the Alter Rebbe writes in the Kutei Torah. That the Torah starts with the letter Beis, because what you think you're reading is not the end, that's the second interpretation, because there's a first one, and there's a third one, and there's a fourth one. That there's not one interpretation, but there's a ribuy of interpretations of the Torah. And that's true, but there's also the Aleph of Anochi, which is that all of those ribuy interpretations upon interpretations, and the nice ideas, need to be bolstered by tefillah and by a relationship with Hashem. Nafshi, padu b'shalom nafshi. On a nafshi k'savas yahavis. So Hashem should see, if nothing else, I think at for brain you're supposed to make a hachlata. I don't know if there's like shliach tzibur of hachlata. I don't know if that ever happens. That sounds like a bad, very bad idea. But I don't think there's anybody who wouldn't feel comfortable saying that we could try that. That we could try to be more padu b'shalom nafshi, to try to ana nafshi k'savis yahavis, that Hashem wanted so much to give us his neshama. He wanted to have a relationship with us that was not just about a text, but that was about something which was alive and was with nigunim and was with dibuk chaverim and was with inside the Beis Medrash as much as outside of the Beis Medrash. To be together, to sit and eat a few donuts together, but also to be with Hashem, because ana nafshi k'savis yahavis, Hashem gave us his neshama. He gave us an infinite soul in a finite text with the goal of bringing himself into everything finite. To have a dir b'tachtonim, we should be zocha to see the binyan b'samikdash, which is built out of sticks and stones and gold, and all types of physical things, that the Ribono Shel Olam should be present in the physical. Dir b'tachtonim, and together, einenu, our eyes together should be able to see the gula shlema b'mitas. Chaim.
Sometimes, well, always, you're always owned by something. The question is, what are you owned by? If you don't take control of your life, somebody will take control of your life. So who do you let take control of your life? So in a matzav like this, it's good. You can let the avira, you can let the matzav take control of you a little bit. It's okay, it's safe. I just wanted to start off by saying something which... I'll get told off for this, but I can't speak any further until I say it, and that is that I'm very humbled, I'm very, very humbled to sit before these two chaverim. I'd like to share with you maybe two mice and two stories of Baal Shem Tov. Baal Shem Tov was once approached by a chassid. And this chassid looked at his Rebbe and he said, Rebbe, I want to understand something. I see it and I want to understand it. Everybody that comes before you, they want to reveal all their secrets to you. Humans, all sorts of humans, they want to share their deepest secrets with you. But not just humans, as well the trees. They come and they talk to you and they want to share their story with you. The animals, all of Bria, everything that you meet wants to share with you. I want some of that. Where does that come from? Where does the ability for somebody to open up to you, where does that come from? Baal Shem Tov looked lovingly at this chassid and he said the word Ahava. He says that I love. And he said the more you love, love makes a person, if it's healthy love, it makes a person feel safe. And what does a person do when they feel safe? They open up. They open up. And you, like me, I have to, a lot of hakara satov, that we have two people in this room that love so sincerely and love so deeply. Rav Judah Mamish, tell me off afterwards, Rav Dovidal. Rav Judah will hit me, Rav Dovidal will make some remark, but Rav Mamish, hakara satov for loving. And I'll always share all my secrets with you, always. I want to tell you another story as well. Chaim, Buch, Atwa, Adoy, Noi. I'm sure I'll call him the
brother. Decided in the car, we don't curse in the church.
Baruch Hashem. Thank you. What's the other story? The other story is when the Baal Shem Tov was on his deathbed. When the Baal Shem Tov was on his deathbed, the Hasidim came before the Baal Shem Tov and they said, Rebbe, you're about to leave us. What the hell are we going to do? You are everything to us. You are everything to us. You loved us, you respected us, you looked after us. What are we going to do? What are we looking for now? What are we looking for? And the Baal Shem Tov said, find somebody who will teach you the difference between Anova and Gaiva. Spoke about this yesterday, I think. Yeah? Find the person who's going to teach you the difference between Anova and Gaiva. And one thing that I've definitely learned from as well, these two, is I see, Hakara Satov, I see the difference between Anova and Gaiva. And again, I thank you. Both of you, Bala Nova. And I count myself very lucky, and I'm very humbled. I'm Mamash. It's the two lovers.
A good one.
And the Bale Anova, both of you. Baruch Hashem. This day, you finished now? You finished laughing? Can I start? Can we have some seriousness here? This is a serious night. I'm trying to be serious for a couple of seconds, okay?
Just call me a Balgaga from 50 people.
It's not what I said, it's what you heard.
Everybody heard it.
Everyone heard it? Okay. This day is a very special day to me. A very, very special day. We know the Maggid of Mezrich was Niftar on this day. And we know that the Balatanya, after 53 days of being in prison, was freed. There was 53 chapters in Tanya corresponding. There's many sidus within this day. One of my Rebbes used to tell me that the Baal Shem Tov already said, and it's brought in other Sfarim, much earlier Sfarim, that the 19th of Kislev is a very, very special day. It's a very, very special day. And really, if we understand the sod of this day, it answers a question. By the way, you should know, I want to know all of you. I want to go around, maybe I'll do it afterwards, just to say hello to people. I feel distant. I don't know you. You don't know me so well. It hurts me. But anyway, this is how these things run. So what happens? We have to change it a little bit. What happens on this day? This day deals with an issue that really plagues mankind. Deals with an issue that really plagues mankind. And that issue is that of imprisonment. That's the issue of imprisonment. The Gemara already tells us you can't free yourself from prison. So we know a lot of the time we're spent in prison. What does that look like? It looks like the fact, well, we spoke about it a few times, these words have been rattling around in my mind. And it's as well a very deep sod. It's a metzias. People look for vacancies, for good jobs, a vacancy for good job with a good pension, you know, and a good wage package. I promise you there's a job that there's vacancies for all the time, and mamash, it comes with a good wage package, sometimes, but it definitely comes with a good pension. And that is the vacancy for tzidkus, the vacancy for leadership, the vacancy for anova, the vacancy for giving life and light to the Rabbanei Shloim, the Shechinah's in prison. That vacancy is open. And Hashem is Baruch looking for people to take up that job. To take up the job to free the Shechinah. The Shechinah's in pain. The Shechinah's in Golas. Doesn't look like it. Doesn't look like it. Sometimes we don't look like it that we're in Golas, but we're in Golas. The Shechinah's in Golas, and the Shechinah's looking for those people who are going to free the Shechinah. I'd like to tell you a story about an elephant. An elephant. It's a good story. Once upon a time. By the way, you should know Mamash the Shechinah's here, and you should know as well Eliyahu Navi's here. These two have had Gilu Eliyahu. Eliyahu Navi's here with us. B'schus the love, b'schus the anova. Should know that. A little kid, and this little kid liked elephants. And this little child read about elephants and spoke to his parents about elephants and heard stories about elephants. It was mamash crazy about elephants, the gracefulness of elephants, the strength. Mamash magnificent creatures, elephants. And the boy hears from his classmates there's a circus coming to town. Mamash. And he runs home to his father and he says, Abba, he says there's elephants coming. There's a circus, there's animals, and they do tricks. There's going to be elephants. Take me, please. And the father knows how much this little kid loves his elephants. He finds out the information and yeah, there's a circus coming to town. There's going to be elephants. You know, sometimes in life, especially with the kids and sometimes, you know, adults as well, I'm definitely like this. You know, you say the circus is coming next week, but you have to ask every 3 minutes, is it here yet? Is the circus here? And that's what the kid did. The circus is coming next week, and mamash, every day after, are we going today to the elephants? Are we going to the elephants? The elephants! Next week. Okay, I'll calm down. 1 day, 2 days, 3 days, and the day that they're going to go to the elephants, the circus, with all the different animals, and this elephant, the day, he's already ready by the door 6 hours beforehand. So his father says, okay, come, let's get an ice cream first. So they go out. And they go in the car and they're driving and he's seeing elephants everywhere. He sees trees, elephants, bushes, elephants. Elephants are other cars, elephants. And they buy the tickets and they walk into this big, big circus tent. And the boy is holding his father's hand tightly. He's holding his father's hand tightly and he's like itching. He's waiting. And there he sees it. He sees way over on the other side this big elephant. And the father and the son start to walk towards this elephant. And as the eyes of this little boy sees this magnificent beast that he's been so excited about, he notices something. He turns to his father and he says, Daddy, I don't understand something. Nachon, we were reading in our books, elephants are so strong. Yeah. The mama's really strong, correct? That's really, really, really strong. Yeah, they're really strong. So strong that they can bring apart this tent if they wanted. They can break the tent. They can go into the wood and break the wood and the whole tent can fall. That's how strong, Abba. Yeah. I don't understand something. The elephant, so big, so mighty, has a little piece of string round its neck. And the little bit of string is attached to a peg in the ground. If the elephant is so big and strong, why doesn't it just break the string? Why doesn't it just snap the string? And the father hears the depth of this question that his young boy is asking him. He hears the question. What's he going to answer his son? And then something comes up, an answer, you know what I'm talking about. Sometimes an answer just comes, yeah? An answer comes. And he looks at his son. He says to the boy, he says, it could be that when the elephant was a little baby elephant, he was brought to the circus, and they tied some string round his neck and tied it to a peg. And what do you think this little elephant did? This little kid elephant. It pulled and it pushed and it tugged. And it wrapped his trunk around this little piece of string backwards and forwards for 1 hour, 2 hours, 3. Listen, they have to do that to train the elephant. And then the elephant came to realize that when I'm attached to this little piece of string, I can't move. I've tried Didn't I try for hours backwards? Doesn't break. And what happened to this elephant as it's grown, as it's developed, as it's become more mighty? This big elephant, when it's tied to this little piece of string, which is tied round its neck to a peg in the ground, stays still. It doesn't move. Because in its head, it's this little tiny elephant that tried to pull and tried to push. And now this mighty big elephant, when it's tied to this little piece of string, is a little elephant. You know, my friends, it's very painful. What's the Shechina in Golus? What's imprisonment? What's this day about? The sod of this day, what the Baal HaTanya revealed. In our lives, we are big and we are mighty. We have a hell of a lot to give to this world. And in our lives, we're riddled with fears and insecurities. So many elements of our lives, our relationships. So many places in our lives with that little puppy element, that little elephant that we've tried to pull and to push and we gave up. How many places, I know in my lives, how many places I'm stuck. How many places I have fears and insecurities. And I turn around and I say, and I rationalize in my mind, look, I tried to be open. I tried to be real. I tried to take that step forward. How many places in our lives do we have to be that little elephant? You know, I was working with a guy, he's a rav of a community. This guy is mamash, a paladika powerhouse. And everyone looks at him with grace, with mamash magnificent, perfect shalom bayis, money, everything, can machazik like anything. And he comes in front of me with his wife and he's so broken. He's mamash big, powerful elephant. And he looks at himself as this little elephant. This is what the Baal HaTanya is teaching us today. The Maggid of Mezrich, the 19th of Kislev. People want jobs, great jobs, to earn good stuff, you know? There's plenty vacancies for greatness. The question is, who is going to turn around and who's going to realize how great they are and who's going to take that little thread, mamash, a little piece of string of a fear, an insecurity, and who's going to turn around and realize it's just a little piece of string and I'm a mighty elephant? Who? Because those people, they're going to live a good life. Those people who face their fears, those people who realize that we are never imprisoned. The Rebbe Rayatz, when he went into prison, when the Russians put him into prison, oh, he caused them havoc. They mamash beat him up. He was more stubborn. The question is, it comes down to? Who's more stubborn? Who wants it more? Who's more stubborn? A Yid is stubborn. We're here to be stubborn more than everyone else. We don't give up. We face our fears. We gave over on Shabbos by Yaakov Avinu by the beginning of this week's Sedra. By the beginning of this week's Sedra, there's no psichas or stumas until Shlishi. And then it says, and Yaakov was shalem when he came to Be'er Sheva. The Sfasemes, the Chidush Shearim, gives a Torah based on the Kozhenitzer that When you're going through some sort of nisayon, you have to nesia, you have to travel, you don't stop, you have to keep on going. What's the psichas and stumas? What's the gap in the Torah? It's a time to be misbainen, it's a time to to think. What's the pasuk teaching me? What's the pasuk telling me? But when a person's going through some sort of trial or tribulation, there's no time to stop. We have to keep on going. But then it says that Yaakov came shalem. The Ben Ish Chai, he says as following, that we don't say that the trial and tribulation that we just went through is separate in my life. We don't turn around and we don't say that, I don't want to think about that. That's called Ra. Ra is unintegrated emes, unintegrated kedusha. I learn and I say, what can I become through this nisayon? Who can I become through this nisayon? Shalem, shlemus, I integrate what's gone on. The Heilige Baal HaTanya had two visitors, the Baal Shem Tov and the Maggid of Mezrich. One of the answers to our avoda of facing fears and facing all these things that can hold us back. This is the answer. These two people are the answer. These two people are the answer, and never forget it. We have to have mashbim, we have to have people who care for us and love us when we don't love ourselves, and have emunah in us when we don't have emunah in ourselves. That's one answer. And the other answer is to realize, maybe I can give a moshul. You know, kids have a teddy bear. A lot of kids have a teddy bear. And what's the avoda of that teddy bear? What's the avoda of the blanket? I had that blanket until I was about 25 years old, called night-night. My night-night, it was like little threads by the time I finished. But what does the teddy bear do for the kid? It makes it feel good. The kid feels good. But let me ask you a question. But MS, does that... What is that? What is the teddy bear? It's a stuffed animal we know as onlookers. We know it's just, okay, it's a comforting zach, okay. But as adults, you know what our teddy bear is? Our teddy bear is our midos. Our thoughts. We have thoughts, but we're not our thoughts. We have feelings, but we're not our feelings. We have physical sensations, but we're not our physical sensations. We are the observer. We're the part that can come to realize that a thought comes up, I can observe it. That's the greatest prison that we live within. The machshavas, this is in the Tanya, Yud Beis. The Baal HaTanya, the Nefesh HaBahami, the lower self is what imprisons us. When we think we are our fears. Yes, it's very compelling, but my friends, I promise you, it's a fact that you never will be your fears. You never will be your insecurities. You never will be all the things that we say hold us back. We are the part that could observe. We are the liberated part. This is what the Baal HaTanya is telling us. Similarly, you have Viktor Frankl in the Holocaust. A person could be caught up in the deepest, darkest prison. But if they choose to be free, they're free. If they choose to be imprisoned, they're imprisoned. Physically, we could be bound. Emotionally, we could find the deepest of the deep. We can find self. Ourselves, we can find self. When Rebbe Ayatz was in prison, Mamish, they told him, speak in German. He spoke in Russian. Speak in Russian, speak in German. Speak in Yiddish, he spoke in Lashon HaKodesh. When they said, sit down, he stood up. When they said, stand up, he sat down. Mamish, he drove them so cuckoo, they threw him out of prison. And the question is, what do we choose in our lives? Who are we meant to be? What are we meant to be? Every single person in here, I promise you, is destined for greatness. That greatness, the way it manifests, is up to you. What will hold you back are the teddy bears of our thoughts, are the teddy bears of our emotions. And it's avoda, mamash, it's an avoda, don't get me wrong. It's a matana from Hashem Yisbarach, and it's an avoda. But with our manhigim, with the mashbia, with the people who are rabbonim, our mentors, our guides, the ones that love us, the ones that look out for us more than ourselves. Mamash, the ones that love us sometimes more than we love ourselves. And when we realize what the Nefesh HaBahami is, we need it. We need our thoughts, feelings, and physical sensations, but to know they're not us. To know that we can observe them. I can ask myself, as the Pious Essener says, Ma ani choshev, what am I thinking? And I can observe that. I can do that. We're amazing. Oh, you have shouted enough, I'm sorry. My beautiful friends, never ever give up. Never ever give up. Know that you have each other. Just look around. Isn't it amazing? Look how many people are here. Look, it's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. We can be in the beach in Tel Aviv and we chose to be here. Good on you. Mamash, it's unbelievable. Never forget. Never give up on yourselves. Never fall into that prison and mamash become a prisoner. Do you think for one second when the Gaon Mevilna was in prison, he was a prisoner? The Gra was never a prisoner when he was in prison. The Gra was in prison as well. Do you know when the Balatani was in prison, you think for one second he was a prisoner? Not for one second he was a prisoner. My dear friends, my beautiful friends, number one, I love you all very, very much. I don't know you, but I love you unconditionally. I promise you, I love you unconditionally. I love you unconditionally. And know that we have, Baruch Hashem, wonderful teachers and people here to help us, who believe in us, who love us, and to give them the utmost kavod, real kavod, not junky kavod. But these are people who, I want to be like them. These are my inspirations, the Rav Judah Michel, David, these are my inspirations. And Be'ezras Hashem, we should realize all the people in this room, we can make such an indentation on society. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't become a prisoner. Mamash. And Be'ezras Hashem, we should go from strength to strength.
Because it feels so natural to be in Yerushalayim, Bein HaChomot, somewhere between the last moments of exile and the first moments of redemption. It feels prophetic. It feels like the unfolding of prophecy. I'm going to share prophecy of Yeshayahu HaNavi. It's the 49th parak of Sefer Yeshayahu. The prophet charges us. Vayomer nakel meyoscha li'eved lakim et shiftei Yaakov. It's not enough. It's insufficient to rise up as the tribes of Yaakov. It's not enough for us to rise up. Surah Yisrael, Lahashiv, and to restore the desolate places of Klal Yisrael. It's not enough. I mean, this was a desolate place. Seems like the right time to give Akar Satov, the Balei Bayit, to the Maskutz family for Irving Moskowitz, Zechus Yagin Aleinu, for restoring this place and for enabling this and so much rebuilding in Eretz HaKodesh, so much renewal in Eretz HaKodesh. So Zecharia, Hananya, for all of your holy and hard work in enabling this get-together. Zecharia, it should be a Zechus for you, for your family, and Aliyah Neshama for your grandfather. Left such a strong Yerusha for you and for all of us. If there was a person in our generation that raised up Klal Yisrael and restored the desolate places, the ruins of Israel, it was your Zayda. So L'chaim.
Chaim.
But it's not enough. It's insufficient. Says Yishayahu HaNavi, to restore the Jewish people to the land and to raise up the tribes of Israel and rebuild the desolate places is just the beginning. Saticha l'or goyim l'yos yishuasi ad k'tzei ha'aretz. It's not the goal. It's not the end. The purpose of restoring the land, returning the Jewish people to Eretz HaKodesh, rebuilding the land, is ultimately for us to be an Or L'Goyim, a light into the whole world. So that Hashem's presence and salvation extends to the farthest reaches, the four corners of the globe. Komar Adonai Goel Yisrael Kadosho. This is what Hashem, the Redeemer of Israel, the Holy One, says. Livzon nefesh, to those who are despised, broken-hearted. Messiah of Goy, to those who are loathed by the nations. L'eved Moshlim, and those who are forced to serve the rulers of other places. Malachim yiru v'kamu sarim v'ishtachavu. There'll come a day where all the leaders of the world will gather and prostrate themselves before Klal Yisrael. L'man Hashem asher neman kadosh Yisrael v'yivchareka. Because God has chosen us. They'll see us expressing the will of God and the name of God manifest in His children and His nation. They'll recognize that Hashem is the Melech. Komar Hashem be'es ratzo minisicha. There'll come a time that's called an es ratzo, a time of favor. V'yom Yeshua Ezraticha. And that day of salvation, Hashem will answer us. V'tzarcha v'tencha l'briyos am l'hakim eretz l'hanchil nachlo shamamos. And all the entirety of the land will be restored and be rebuilt. Lemor la'asurim tseyu. To all those who are imprisoned, will be told, go out, tseyu, be released. L'asher b'choshech igalu. And to all of those who are stuck in darkness, higalu, be revealed. Lo yiravu v'lo yitzmo, there won't be no hunger and there'll be no thirst. Lo yakeim sharav v'shemesh, the sun and the harsh climate won't affect us. Ki merachem aminagim, because we'll be led by the Merciful One. Bu'ei mayim min haleim, will be led along streams of water. Samti kol harai l'derech, psilos ayirumun, all of the hills and all of the pathways, the mountains will be turned into roads, and all of the paths will be uplifted. Hine eile mirachok yavo, and all those who are distant will come close. Hine eile mitzafon umiyam, come from all directions. Ranu shamayim v'gili aretz, heaven and earth will rejoice, they'll sing a glad song. Fitzchu harim rina, the mountains will break out in rejoicing. Kinicham Hashem amo, ani avirachim. Those who have been humbled will rejoice, will be uplifted, and comforted by Hashem Yisborach. Getting together on Yutes Kislev in Yerushalayim, somewhere in the process, somewhere, some stage in the process of the rebuilding of the land, somewhere along the pathway, singing a glad song, looking around, I think we're all part of that process of Kibbutz Galus, some preceded us, from South Africa, some from England, North America. We're all part of this incredible process. It's not enough to be here. It's not enough to fill Eretz Yisrael with homes and to build up desolate hills and halavai. That should even be the start. But the Navi reorients our goal to something so much more elevated, something so much more sublime. To literally be a light unto the nations, and to be led by the Merciful One. to perfect the world, and to reach every single corner of the globe with Das Hashem. 18th parak of Tanya. Famously, Sefer Tanya revolves around a couple of specific psukim. One of the psukim that the focal point of Sefer Tanya is the restoration of our relationship with Hashem. Kikar ve'lecha hadaver ma'od. Focus on this, an analysis of what means kikar ve'lecha hadaver ma'od, that it's very close to us. Ma'od. It's the nature of this ma'od. Ficha b'lvavcha la'sosa. Famously, the Bala Tanya redefines our relationship with Hashem as not something between two separate entities that we have to learn, we have to figure out, experiment with, so that we can draw close. Not something that we have to find. Something which is an inheritance. Yerushahim Avosenu. It's the Avos were Merkava. It belonged to our grandparents, to our great-grandparents. And it's revealed within us. It's a chelik alaka mimal mamish. As a Yerushahim Avosenu. And the nature of this closeness with Hashem, ma'od, is what the focus of a lot of the analysis of Sefer Tanya is. What's clear is that the Baal HaTanya is revealing for us a new way of understanding, which is really a very old way that we kind of lost sight of, is that in the deepest recesses of our subconscious, when a Jew lives naturally, in the most healthy way, like Abdavel explained so beautifully, when we sit together and help each other toward a world of health and well-being, we come to uncover within us something which is so simple and so basic. We don't need to read it in a book or find it in some far-off land. When we uncover that which is most simple and fundamental to our identity, we call it intuition. It's in our DNA. It's what we are. It's not what we do, what we learn, what we achieve, what we acquire, but it's revealing essentially who we are. That's called emunah. Intuition. If Cook explains that after generations and generations in Golos, imprisoned in places that were not our own, stuck in Shibud Malchios and darkness, we piled up layers and layers on top of this essential self, this core being, and we lost our intuition. We've come to not trust ourselves. Worried all the time about fitting in. And those pchadim that Rabbi Yeshua explained so beautifully. Afraid all the time, Mayom Ragoyim, what are they going to say? Can I do it? Can I not do it? We've lost faith in ourselves. And become imprisoned. Shibud Malchios, literally. So that we've lost our intuition. And as Klal Yisrael, as Knesset Yisrael is restored in Eretz HaKodesh, to our natural land, we're beginning the process, we're continuing the process to be mevarer, that intuition. Of uncovering that which was already there, called emuna, belief in ourselves, belief in our purpose in the world, in our kochos hanefesh, and that Hashem has chosen us. And Yutes Kislev is a day where we get together, leimor laasurim tzeyu. We say, just get free, get unstuck, come out of the darkness. Because we're being led by a merciful one. And it's specifically by sitting around a table like this and farbringing that we bring that out. Tinyana Yudzayin, Kimarachim Aminagim. Rabbeinu explains who that manhig is, what it means to be a manhig, what it means to lead. Moshe Rabbeinu, who was able to see good in Klal Yisrael and awaken the good inside of us, our recognition of who we are, that even when we go wrong, and even when we make mistakes, and even when we're stuck with a Sor Shebi Issa or Shebi Malchus, and we're all messed up on the outside, Chait is not Shaykh to Klal Yisrael. Klal Klal Lo. It's that Torah, Yitzayim. And Rabbeinu explains there what it looks like when two Jews speak to each other. When two people, an Av and a Ben, or a Rebbe and Talmud, a Mashpia and a Makabel, when two Chaverim talk to each other in Yirat Shamayim,
talk honestly with one another. We empty ourselves out of one makif and receive a new light and a new spirit from our friend. And it's a process of mekablim dein min dein that we need each other for. To clear away the rubble and make room, make space for new awareness and new levels of God consciousness and new levels of confidence and new levels of emunah that were really ours the whole time. But it happens specifically Kedaber Yishareyeh, when two friends are talking to each other in Yirat Shamayim. Kikarov Elecha Adavar Ma'od. There Rabbeinu explains, Beficha Obelvavcha. When a person speaks, when we talk from our heart, we empty out, so to speak, that which is preventing us from moving forward, from going deeper, from being who we really want to be. So we empty that out to a listener, to a receiver, to a friend. We're able to then uncover within ourselves something called ma'od. As the Rebbe explained, V'havta Hashem Elokecha b'chol levavcha, b'shnei yitzrecha, Gemara says, Yitzrah tov, Yitzrah hara. We use, well, the tzaddikim of Chabad explain the side of light and the side of darkness, both sides of ourselves. B'chol nafshecha, b'chol mamonecha, with all of our resources. B'chol ma'odecha, Meaning it means, even if we have to give up our life, feel no tells nafshecha, b'chol ma'odecha, all of our possessions, everything we have. So the Rebbe explained, b'chol ma'odecha means beyond our yetzer tov and yetzer hara, beyond our inclinations and our kochos, beyond our resources, beyond our actual physical life, there's something called ma'odecha. There's something called our more, our higher self, with our more. And then Rebbe Nachman explains, when friends get together and talk to one another. The main part of the Fabrengen is not top down. The Drashos and the Gunim. But it's another L'chaim and another L'chaim to clear away more masks and open up more honesty, more Diburim Shel Emes. Clear away more Makifin so that we can get to a place called Pnim. We open up what we really are. Chelek Elokami Ma'al Mamash. To be able to access that part of us which knows and believes that we can really be an Or LaGoyim. There's Golos Hadas and there's Golos Hadibur, or a Tzadik Be'alama. But the Chag HaGeula Yutes Kislev is the day, the headquarters, where we could say, Leimor LaAsurim Tseyu, where we can relive and reawaken the words of the Prophet and say, just get unstuck, be free. It's a choice. Another couple of days and it's going to be Chanukah. And Chanukah is that Yontif. It says, Ner Chanukah Chavivahi Ma'od. Had Ma'od. To the place called Ma'od. Mesiris Nefesh. It's Chavivahi Ma'od. Rambam doesn't use language like that. Stam Kacha. Isn't Koveya and Halacha something stam like that? Chanukah is the time where we're able to clear out the rubble, we're able to break through all the red tape that we surround ourselves with, and all the roadblocks that we set up, all the shackles that we bound ourselves with, and we're able to access that place called Ma'od inside of us, that flask of oil that's always pure and that's untouched. And it's specifically on Chanukah that in the way that Chazal help us remember what Chanukah is all about, it was Matisyahu Banav. There was no movement, there was no club to be a part of. It was Matisyahu Banav, it was a chevra. It's essentially a group of guys. They weren't the strongest. It was a group of guys, very special guys, but a self-selected group who said, we don't want to be imprisoned anymore. It was Yiddish and Mesiris Nefesh to go against the grain, to say we don't want to be in darkness and we don't want to be prisoners anymore. They fought against the establishment and woke up that holy rebellion to say we are an Orla Amim. We are an Orla Goyim. Our job is to make the menorah shine to the entire world. There's a beautiful work called the Sefer HaTakanos. It was written by Rabbi Arla and Shomer Emunim. The Sefer HaTakanos in the 35th chapter, the Rabbi Arla has a lot of rules, ironically, a lot of rules. He was a real individual, and he created his own chassidus of individuals, but ironically, fell into the trap of becoming institutionalized with more rules and more rules. But there he writes that this prophecy, Yeshayahu HaNavi, is talking to those who are institutionally challenged. Lemor la'asurim tzeir, those who have a difficult time sitting in shuls, belonging to a base medrash, sticking with a system, those who've lost faith. I'll take a little poetic license with Avarla. I mean, anyways, here's a lot of, when I get there, there's going to be a lot of tinus. Anyway, this will be the least of it. For those who just won't read off the script, but don't want to be stuck, who have a hard time being nailed down to one specific way. But those who are yearning to find God in every way. Those who are struggling to find meaning in Ruchnius and self in every part of Yiddishkeit and everywhere in the world. So Barla says, for those who feel imprisoned, by the old way of Yiddishkeit, the way of my way or the highway, so to speak, being stuck in a specific club and script, Lemor la'asurim tzeyu, he says, in the merit of those Jews who feel stuck, but refuse to be imprisoned, and yearn to find God in everything and everywhere, we'll see geula. It can't be stuck. What happened to the Maccabees, to the Chashmonaim? It wasn't a couple of generations later that these group of unbelievable individuals, of tzaddikim, their children and grandchildren, just continued to redig their wells without chias and follow that script. The Chashmonaim started to like get a little bit institutionalized. And instead of it being this vibrant, radical, rebellious movement of finding God and the menorah being this incredible sign of hope, it became institutionalized and corrupt in politics, in government. When a person puts faith in government and hope in institutions, we can become crushed. We lose our hope. Because that's not where Hashem wants us to look for hope and salvation. Hashem wants us to look within, look to our left and look to our right, to sit at a Fabrengen with friends, to dig deep, to find our Nekuda of Mesiras Nefesh, and to recover on Yutes Kislev and on Chanukah, holy rebelliousness against a placid, lukewarm Yiddishkeit, and to be on fire. Because the way to be a light unto the nations is for us to turn it on, to light up a fire. Yitzhak Kislev, we start to break free. We realize that we're not imprisoned. We realize we're not imprisoned, and we don't have to be stuck. We don't have to be in darkness. We can access geula. And then on Chanukah, we actualize it by lighting a flame, by lighting ourselves up. Because to be an Orla Amim, to be an Orla Goyim, like Yeshayahu is saying, to be an Orla Goyim, and to spread Hashem, Ketzei HaAretz, to be Mefarsei Hashem's Nisim, all it takes is for us to turn ourselves on. It's just to open it up. We're on fire. It's Yerushim Avaseinu. A Jew is always lit, a Yid is always on fire, even if it doesn't feel like it, even if it doesn't seem like it, a Yid is always on fire. There's nothing that can change that. It's a mitzius, it's a reality. One of the Alter Mashpim of Chabad said the reason why we take mashke at a Fabrengen, I don't know why it's called take mashke, it's like taking medication. The reason why we drink l'chaim dafka on this yash, on this mashke, Because imagine you take this bottle of vodka and you put it in the freezer, you know, to get it ready. That's the hachana of the vodka's hachana for the fabrengen is to be in the freezer a little bit. Huh? That's the way it works, exactly. There's many types of freezers in the world. Hashem should bless us, we should never be in the freezer. But if we are, we have to learn from this mashke. Is that the freezer is an ice box, is an environment that's lacking life and passion. It's cold, it's icy. And everything that goes into that freezer changes and becomes frozen over. And it gets stuck. It gets stuck. You put hot soup in the freezer, at a certain point, it's going to start to get icy, and then it stops. It becomes stuck, it becomes frozen, it changes from the inside out. But not the mashke. The mashke you put inside the freezer, it stays hot. It stays fire. It doesn't change. Since the Alter Mashpiyim of Chabad would say that we take l'chaim, we say to ourselves, we say to each other, l'chaim, l'vracha, be that whatever's happening in the world around us, no matter how cold it gets, no matter how the world is saying one thing, no matter how dark it is, no matter how stuck it is on the outside, we have to remember that an inside a Jew is always lit, we're always on fire, we're going against the grain. We're going against the grain. It's insufficient. It's insufficient to take over every hill and build it up with homes. It's a good start, and Hashem should help that we should see that. But it's insufficient. For us, we want to change the world. We want to turn over the world and reveal God in every single corner of the world and every single person. And Hashem should help us that tonight, we should know that Hashem is with us and Hashem is leading us. That tzaddikim are leading us and revealing within us how good we are, how lit we are, how on fire we are, how we're able to be moser nefesh. Every Jew is ready to be moser nefesh for Hashem. Yid is ready to be moser nefesh for Kvod Shamayim, for Eretz Yisrael. He's ready to be moser nefesh to Binyan Beis HaMikdash. And we should be zochet to see the revelation of God in the world, the building of the Beis HaMikdash, and the lighting of the menorah and the heichal. Mirtz Hashem, like the words, like the letters of the Chashmonaim. We should be zochet to see Mashiach now. Chaim, Chaim.
Yehin uvinu imrim Ashrei mi shalai chavava tava.
As we take upon ourselves, it's not presumptuous to say a renewed commitment to Pnimiyas HaTorah, a renewed commitment to learning and living with the Alter Rebbe, as the Alter Rebbe said. When a Jew comes to learn his Torah, any Yid who's learning the Torah of the Alter Rebbe is a Yechidus with the Alter Rebbe. Hashem should help us that we renew our commitment to studying, to learning, and to living with Divrei Elokim Chaim, works of the Baal HaTanya, all the Tzaddikim, and in that way we'll be zochet to see the Gula Shlema of Amitis Meher B'Yameinu.
Amen. Amen.